Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. With those words, the lepers by the side of the road call out to Jesus, expressing the deep yearning of human hearts for healing and wholeness. Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. Mercy is a deep and complex word. It does not mean forgive me, as is often thought. Rather, it's about something freely offered with no expectation of action or returned favor. Mercy is compassion, kindness, gracious favor, an understanding of what the other person is going through. To offer mercy is to open one's heart unconditionally to the other. So when the 10 lepers call out for mercy, they are not asking for forgiveness. They are not even specifically asking for healing. They are asking for something so much more than either of those. They are saying, we are shunned and ostracized by society. Look at us and love us as we are. Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. We are worn down by our disease. Understand what it is like for us. Kyrie eleison, Christ, have mercy. We long to be touched and cared for. Open your heart to us. Kyrie eleison, Christ, have mercy. We have done nothing wrong, nothing to deserve this. Show us compassion. Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. Mercy is what the lepers ask for. Mercy. Now, leprosy in the time of Jesus was not like leprosy or Hansen's disease of today. Lepers could have any manner of skin diseases, defined in Leviticus 13 as a swelling or an eruption or a spot with a white hair in it or more than skin deep. This could have included what we call today ringworm, psoriasis, eczema, allergic reactions, boils, burns, among other skin irritations and diseases. In fact, houses and clothes could be declared to have leprosy if they had reddish or greenish spots appear, perhaps a type of mold or lichen. Strict rules were followed if it was determined by a priest that leprosy existed. The person was to wear torn clothes, let the hair on their head be disheveled, cover the upper lip, and cry out, unclean, unclean, if anyone came near. They had to live alone, outside the village, until a priest declared them to be clean, at which time they could go to the temple, offer specific sacrifices and offerings, and then be welcomed back into their village. Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. When the lepers call out for mercy, they are asking for compassion, for understanding, to be treated as human beings again, to be welcomed back into their community. And for all of that to happen, it requires healing from their skin disease. Now, this is a fascinating story. The writer of Luke, in just 12 sentences, touches upon about 12 different themes, and I'm not going to explore them all. I've already explained the range of diseases included in leprosy. But the interesting thing to note is even though Leviticus says that someone with leprosy should live alone outside the village, these people have naturally gathered together in a group. Our need for human community is huge. We need the presence of other people, especially those who understand. And that comes through in this story. When these 10 call out to Jesus for mercy, Jesus responds by telling them to go and show themselves to a priest. And it says, on the way, they were made clean. Now, what I find interesting is these 10 don't stand around and wait for Jesus to wave his hands or put some mud on them like he did with one person. They just turn around. The minute he says go, they go on their way. Immediately head off to find the priest, who would have been in Jerusalem. Now, this story is set on the border of Galilee and Samaria, so that means it would be a 105-kilometer journey. By car today, that would be 1 hour. For these lepers, it's a 5 or 6 day walk. So when Jesus says, go, they're heading off on that. Luke says in his story that as they walk, they were made clean. It was in the process of doing what Jesus asked, in making the journey following his instructions, that the healing came to them. Remember that. Now, 9 of these newly healed people were Jewish. So think of that journey to Jerusalem. For them to rejoin their families and villages, they have to head to the priest in Jerusalem, 5-6 day walk, make specific sacrifices, and then a 5 or 6 day walk home. That was what was ahead of them, the journey that was ahead of them at this moment. It wasn't quite as instantaneous as it sounds in this very short story. But one of these was a Samaritan, and that's pointed out. And the interesting thing about that is for him to go to a priest, which was the Samaritans followed the same kind of rules. He only had a few hours' journey to Mount Gerizim, where the Samaritan center of worship was. So when he gets praised for stopping and taking time to thank Jesus, we have to know that he also had an advantage, that he only had, you know, about a day to do what he needed to do, where they had 12 days ahead of them. However, he could have raced away, but instead he stops. He turns around, walks back to Jesus, falls on the ground before him, and thanks Jesus. Jesus makes a note that only 1 of the 10 have returned to praise God, and you can note that Jesus points to God, not to himself. He doesn't take the praise himself. Jesus also notes that this one was a foreigner, a Samaritan, someone outside the Jewish culture and faith. It makes me think of Jesus' command to love the stranger. Twice in this story, Jesus shows that God's love is extended to those on the margins, the lepers, the Samaritans in this case. So then we get to the statement that wraps up the whole story. Jesus says to the Samaritan, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, I know in no way imagine that the other 9 suddenly had leprosy again. Jesus was not cruel. So what's happening in this moment? There's something more in this brief exchange where Jesus says, your faith has made you well. The word that's translated made well in Greek also means to save, to be freed, to be made whole. What the Samaritan receives in stopping to offer thanks is a wholeness and healing that is not just skin deep, but goes right down deep into his soul. This is not just physical healing. It is spiritual and emotional healing. It is restoration to family and community and life. And just hold on to that. When we read the Bible, we do so because we've chosen to follow the way of Jesus. We read this book because it is our family story, our guide, our inspiration, our comfort, and our challenge a challenge we've accepted in choosing to live the way of Jesus. So what does this story in this book have to offer us as followers of the way of Jesus? When facing illness, whether mental, physical, or spiritual, we long for healing to come in the way it appears to come in this short story. Go, says Jesus, and they were made well. We pray, we yearn, we weep, we want that instantaneous moment when everything is made well, and sometimes it comes. But when it doesn't happen this way, it's so easy to declare that, well, prayer doesn't work. God doesn't exist, so why bother? Now, we need to remember, as David talked about last week, that this is a story in which Luke is weaving together, as I said, a dozen messages into a dozen sentences. And truthfully, for Luke, healing is the least of his messages in this story. When these stories were written about Jesus, it was a time when the world was understood as an enchanted place. For Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John to tell a story of Jesus instantly healing someone was just expected. They were saying that Jesus was Lord as a counter to Caesar as Lord, and as a counter to other gods as a time. And this story would have just been accepted as absolutely natural and needed. But there is something more that goes on here. A healing that goes deeper, and that's what's important in here. Think of this, when we go to a doctor, we don't expect instantaneous healing. We know that it will likely be a journey of tests, consultations, treatments, rounds of medication or physiotherapy, a variety of places that is on a journey of healing. When working within the medical and scientific realm, we understand that healing takes time, takes effort, and sometimes doesn't work the way expected. We don't reject the medical or scientific approach because a doctor and their team have not been able to restore health and life to someone instantaneously. We understand that it is all much more complicated than that, our lives and our healing. We understand that sometimes in treatments and medication don't work as expected, sometimes they do. So do I believe that prayer works? Absolutely, yes. Do I believe that healing is available to us? Absolutely, yes. However, I believe that the way we understand the medical approach helps us understand also how prayer works, that it's much more complicated and intricate than a magical snap of the fingers. It works, but not just on our demand. It works wonderfully and intricately, sometimes in the ways we expect, sometimes in ways we don't expect. In this story and throughout the New Testament, we are told the community is part of the healing journey. We are meant to pray for each other, to hold each other's well-being in prayer. It's something we're all called to do day by day, to pray for others in our congregation, to pray for the work we do together as a congregation, to pray for the healing that we want to be in the world, in all the ways that Rochelle pointed to and more. That's part of it. Gratitude is also part of the healing journey, part of what we offer in prayer. Gratitude is our superpower as followers of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 5, we're told to give thanks in all circumstances. Now, there are some circumstances I can think of that it would be almost impossible to give thanks, to find anything for which to offer thanks. Yet that's what we're asked to do as followers of Jesus. And that's what we see in this story. All of the 10 are healed of leprosy. But the Samaritan receives something more when he discovers gratitude within him. Now, there would be lots for all of these 10 to feel bitter about. So much rejection and isolation, so much worry and fear. When Jesus says to the Samaritan, "Your faith has made you well," he is pointing to this power of gratitude, which may be elusive in a situation, but which may be the only power we have in that situation. We've had a healing ministry here at High River United Church for 21 years. The healing ministry of this congregation takes many forms, and I just want to point to a few of them to understand what we are doing together. It's our prayer wall, where people can place the written yearnings of their hearts. It's our prayer circle, which prays daily for requests sent their way. It's our prayer shawl ministry, with which we enfold people in the warmth of a shawl so that they know they are not alone in whatever they're facing. It's our prayer time together each Sunday, in which silently and out loud we place our prayers into the energy and love of this community. It's the specific healing hands work that our group of healing ministry people do. Energy work in which prayers and work with the energy field is offered to support healing and well-being. It's the prayer stations we have at our communion meals, where people can stop and ask for prayers for themselves and for others. It's our longest night and Monday, Thursday services at which we offer anointing with oil. It's the little candles we light some Sundays, offering prayers for those that we're thinking about. It's our simple suppers, a time of connection for all of us, but especially for those feeling lonely or left out. The services and sharing time at Seasons and the nursing home and Shalem in Calgary, the visiting that so many of you do to those who are ill or in hospital or homebound. All of these are part of our healing ministry, and there's more we could go on. But it is something that we offer together, something that is so essential to offer in this world. Just as Jesus heard the cry of the 10 people with leprosy, "Kyrie eleison," "Lord have mercy," and responded with compassion and kindness, so too we as people who have embraced the way of Jesus commit ourselves to healing ministry, each in our own way, offering unconditional care to others. We do so because we continue to yearn for healing and wholeness in our lives and in the lives of our family and friends, community and world. Human beings continue to call out, "Kyrie eleison," "Lord, have mercy." And in the wonder and mystery of faith, in the journey, God works with us and through us to bring healing, hope, and love, responding to the need for mercy in our world. May it be so through us today and every day. Amen.